In this week's Parsha, Parshas Vayakal, we have the actual building of the Mishkan. In Parshas Truma and Tetzaveh, we were given the instructions of how to build all the different kelim of the Mishkan and the Bigdei Kohuna. And now in Parshas Vayakal Pekudei, we're going to have the actual building and the coming together and the putting together of all the instructions that happened. It's going to actually become into that Mishkan. And the main architect, the one who was behind it all, the leader and commander of the building of the Mishkan, was Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur. The Meshech Chochma says that it makes sense that it should be Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur, first of all, because he's from Shevet Yehuda, and Shevet Yehuda were the first ones who jumped into the Yamsuf, or Moiser Nefesh to jump into Yamsuf, meaning that they had the leadership in them. That was part of their makeup, was that they were leaders. So if we're picking a leader for such a monumental purpose, it's good that he comes from Shevet Yehuda. There's more, though, and that is because he is the son of Hur. Now, we know who Hur was, because Hur was the person who stood up at the time that Klal Yisrael was making the Egel, and he was the one who protested, seemingly the only one who protested. And because he was protesting, he was killed. And therefore, it makes sense that when we're talking about the person who is building the Mishkan, which some say is being built as a kapara for the Egel, meaning that there are those who say that the Mishkan was part of the plan to begin with, and others who say that the Mishkan is meant to be some sort of kapara for us, for what we did, for abandoning HaKadosh Baruch Hu there by the Chet HaEgel. So when the Mishkan was built, it should be him that is building it. Why? Because he and his family showed that they had pure intentions throughout. And that's why, although by the other kelim it doesn't specifically say that it was Bezalel who built it, when we come to the Aron, it says, Vaya'as Bezalel es ha'aron. He is the one who's actually crafting the Aron. And that is because the Aron have the Kruvim on them. And the Kruvim, which we know is the form of two, I'm not going to give a definition for Kruvim because there are many different ways of describing what they actually looked like, but whatever it was a form of a something. Some say two babies, two angels, with their wings up and touching each other. Their faces were towards each other most of the time. Those are forms. Those are images. We're not allowed to make images. It's one of the Aseres HaDibros that we're not allowed to create an image out of any kind of metal. And here, the top of the Aron had these images on them. Of course, because we were commanded to do so. But who is allowed to build an image? Only someone who comes from a family who has proven that they will never serve Avodah Zarah. So it has to be him who is building these kruvim, because if it was somebody else, then perhaps a subtle intention would come in that these should serve as some sort of Elehe Kesef or Elehe Zav, some sort of Avodah Zarah, and therefore it has to be him who surely had no connection who could make these kruvim. The Chiddush HaArim says that part of the material that was brought to be as donations for the Mishkan, part of it went to be used for the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, the Aron and the Kruvim. And some of the gold and silver, they were used for Kelim. And some were simply used for the covering of the Krushim and the Adonim, meaning that everybody brought their jewelry, everybody brought their coins, but what were those coins used for? Some of the coins were melted and became part of the Kruvim, and some became part of nothing was unimportant, but lesser important kelim, vessels that perhaps were used to collect the blood by the time of the karbanos. And that's why Bezalel had to be a person that was filled with the Ruach HaLekim, Bechachma, Betfuno, Vedas, the Pasuk says, because not only did he have to know how to be an architect, and not only did he have to know how to be a designer, but he had to be able to understand the intentions of the ones who brought the donations, and then to allocate those donations to the right place. Because the ones who had the cleaner, the stronger, the more pure intentions were the ones whose donations went to the holier places. And with this, we can shed light on a question that we may have. It says that the Kohen Gadol can't wear gold clothes when he comes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur. And so when he comes into he has two sets of clothing. The Kohen Gadol has 8 begotim, a regular Kohen only has 4, and part of the Kohen Gadol's clothes have gold on it, and part of the day he is wearing his gold clothes, but when he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim to do the climax of the Avaida, and he's standing there in front of the Kruvim, at that point he can't be wearing gold clothes, because it says, Ein kategar na'ase sanegar. The prosecutor cannot become the defender. Who is the prosecutor? The prosecutor is the gold, because when we built that egel, we used gold. And we don't want to remind Hashem of the gold that we used to build the egel when we come into the Kodesh HaKadoshim to be getting forgiveness for our sins. And so therefore, on that holiest day, in the holiest place, he only wears white. Well, we have 2 questions on this. Number one, how does he ever wear gold clothing? Meaning all the work that's being done in the Mishkan and then in the Beis HaMikdash is a kapara for, if it is indeed a kapara for a cheta egel, we shouldn't be bringing gold clothes into the Mishkan altogether. But then we have an even bigger question. The Kruvim, the Mishkan, the part of the Mizbech, the Kelim, the Menorah, it was all made out of gold. Meaning why are we bringing, forget the gold clothes of the Kohen Gadol, why are we bringing gold in altogether? The Gemara answers this question and just says that we're talking about people, not vessels, which means that in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the question would be about the person wearing the gold clothes, not the vessel wearing gold. But can have a deeper understanding of this. Reish Lakish, when he's talking about tshuva, says that doing tshuva is very great. It's very important. Gedola tshuva. If a person does tshuva and he had done something actively, he actively did a sin, he did an avera actively with intention, and then he did tshuva, that tshuva turns his zedonos, his intentional sins, into shkogos, into unintentional sins, which is of course a much lower level of sinning. But Reish Lakish also says, gedola tshuva, that zedonos, the intentional sins, become zechuyos, they become merits for him. Meaning, if he did something wrong intentionally and then he does tshuva, that tshuva turns his sins into benefits, into mitzvahs. And we explain the contradiction by saying that there's 2 types of tshuva that a person does. If a person does tshuva meyira, if he's doing tshuva out of fear, then his sins, his intentional sins, become unintentional sins. But a person is on a greater level and he's doing tshuva out of love, then in that case, his intentional sins become zuchuyos. They become actual benefits for him. They become actual mitzvahs. And so what we can say is that how is it possible to have golden vessels inside the Mishkan, inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that he only used gold for the Aron and for the Kruvim, the Kaparis, from people who didn't sin in Chet HaEgel at all? Because he understood the intentions of who was bringing the donation. So when he was using gold for inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he took that gold from people like Shevet Levi or from people who did sin but did tshuva me'ava, which means that their sins turned into good actions, and therefore we don't have a problem by using this gold, because there's no problem of ein kateger na'asa saneger, that the prosecutor can't become the defender, because there's no sin that's counted there. But if it's a person who's doing tshuva meyira, or a person who didn't do proper tshuva for the Chet HaEgel, so his gold doesn't get used for the kelim and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because then indeed there would be a problem. So this is why he had to understand why they were giving this gold, and what level of tshuva they had each done, so that he should know exactly where to use the gold, so we shouldn't have a problem of ein kateger na'asa saneger. And this also explains why the Kohen Gadol couldn't wear the gold clothes on Yom Kippur, perhaps, but he was able to wear them on different days of the year, and that's because our primary work on Yom Kippur is tshuva meyira. It's doing tshuva because we fear God, and therefore our zedonos, our intentional sins, are not going to become zechuyos at that point. They're just going to become shkogos. They're not going to become mitzvahs, but they're going to become like unintentional sins, but sins they still are. So on a day when we are coming closer to Hashem, but we are coming closer to Him out of fear and not out of love, on that day He can't wear in the Kodesh HaKadoshim the golden clothes, because then it would be an issue. We don't have a Bezalel who is telling us what our intentions are, and whether we are coming closer to Hashem out of Ava or out of Yira. And of course, it's better to do a mitzvah even without the right intentions. But from here, we see that when there is a difference, meaning that when we give a donation, the poor people get our donation in any case. The money goes to where it's supposed to go to. But for us, and the benefit that could come to us for doing something and doing it with the right intentions, is the difference of being relegated to a spoon that cleans up the ashes, or being part of the kaparis, or being part of the arayin that sits inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim.